Lucas on Life.
Hello, you're listening to Lucas on Life. I'm Jeff Lucas. Thanks so much for joining me here on Premier Christian Radio. Now, just a few days ago, I turned 70. Now, I think there might be a mistake on the birth certificate because actually I feel that trapped inside this 70-year-old body is a rather confused 15-year-old with long hair. And then I look in the mirror and reality returns. Yes, I'm feeling just a little older. I was thinking about this and considering a time some years ago when our beloved late Queen Elizabeth hit the headlines when she politely declined the offer of the award of Oldie of the Year, saying, "You're only as old as you feel." Her Majesty, who was then 95 years young, sent the Oldie magazine a message with her warmest best wishes. Author and broadcaster Giles Brandreth, chairman of the awards, had written to the Queen's private secretary, Sir Edward Young, to ask if she would accept the title. But in her reply, her assistant private secretary, Tom Lang Baker, said, "Her Majesty believes you're as old as you feel. As such, the Queen does not believe she meets the relevant criteria to be able to accept and hopes you will find a more worthy recipient." Brilliant. Here tonight, then, on Lucas on Life, I'd like us to think a while about the way that we think about and treat seniors, pensioners, oldies, the elderly. Let's consider that together. It was one of those life skills that I never learned at school. School told me how many wives Henry VIII had, helped me glean information about Australia's mining industry, and even taught me the French word for station. But nobody told me anything about something you don't believe will ever happen when you're young, yet it happens to every human on the planet if they survive long enough. And that is how to grow older well. Lately, I've been lamenting this glaring gap in my education because, as I mentioned earlier, despite my stubborn insistence that there's been a terrible mistake on my birth certificate, old is what I'm getting, is what I am. Others are noticing, and they've been observing it for a while. I was offered over 60s discounts in restaurants before I turned 50, and then a repairman came to our house, met me, and then later met my wife Kay and asked her to pass on a message to her dad, referring to me. My lovely and apparently youthful wife didn't correct the misunderstanding, but called up the stairs, "Dad!" One time, I walked into a clothing store, one usually frequented by younger men. As I pushed the door and stepped in, the pre-adolescent chap with skinny jeans that were probably impeding his circulation looked up and said, "Hello, sir. Looking for something a little more trendy, are we?" And then just recently, when Kay and I checked in at the airport, a grinning airline person made the comment, "So, travelling with your daughter today, are you? Hilarious." Not. So, finally conceding that the clock is not just ticking but racing, I've been grateful for one man who helped me as a distant tutor when it comes to the grace that is needed for aging. His real name is James, but for years, everyone called him Shotgun. I have no idea. He lived in Oklahoma, which may provide a clue. Shotgun was 93 years old when I met him, and he'd lived most of his life without wanting Jesus to be part of it. When he was 12, he went to a church and told God that if he was real, then he'd like to meet him. Nothing happened. He describes the experience as being one of the most disappointing of his entire life. He walked out of the church and decided to ignore God for the rest of his days and lived the rough and ready life of an oil worker, often drunk, getting into fights, and occasionally thrown into jail. It went on that way for some 7 decades. His wife was the love of his life, and so when they were both in their mid-80s, she announced that she thought they should go to church. He agreed. A short while later, Shotgun's wife became very ill. He was granted a rare privilege. One night, they lay awake for most of the night, reminiscing, reviewing their lives together, whispering words of love. In the morning, he awoke to find that she was not in their bed. She had got up, made her way to their sitting room, where he found her sitting up against the couch, quite dead. 6 months later, Shotgun walked into his pastor's study and said, "I'm ready." They knelt down together on the floor and shotgun asked Jesus if they could connect. Connect they have, and the result has been beautiful. I remember preparing for a trip to Oklahoma and looking forward so much to it, but then realizing it wouldn't be the same because Shotgun wouldn't be there. He had business elsewhere, and I knew that I'd miss him. He showed me what it was like to grow old, not just graciously, but beautifully. Whenever we've met together, he's always brought cheer to my soul. Always tearful and tender, everyone in his church has loved him, and for good reason. His practice was to arrive for services early and make them coffee. He's still full of questions and shows the rare ability for a man of his age to be able to grow and change, to learn. But what's been most noticeable about Shotgun is his kindness, which is just quietly outstanding. In short, he's been a man who cares, encourages, serves. But just before I went to Oklahoma on that last trip, he was away on other business, actually in heaven. I remember the day when I got the news that he'd passed, but I talk about him still often in the present tense, even this evening, because Shotgun still is. He's absent from the body, present with the Lord, and if there's coffee in heaven, which surely there must be, he's probably serving it right now, along with that warm, winsome smile. I'll miss that smile, but not for too long. Good night, Shotgun. See you in the morning, resurrection morning, and thanks for being a great tutor. May I grow old, better say older, with grace like you did. We're thinking about the way that we view older people, and for a few moments, I'd like to talk about something that often affects them, but not exclusively. I'm talking about dementia. I've never been much of a dancer because my feet stubbornly refused to cooperate with my brain. This usually results in some ungainly shuffling and minor bruising for whoever has the misfortune to dance with me. But I know that I'll cherish one dance for the rest of my life. My dancing partner was my mother. For some while, she'd been navigating the uncertain pathway of dementia. It affects, as I've said, mostly, but not exclusively, older people. When the diagnosis finally came, we were quite shattered, but at least we knew the reason for the gradual shifts in her behavior. She'd always been a nervous person, but living alone had become increasingly challenging. She'd come to believe that her neighbors were spying on her, that they wished her physical harm. Everyday chores were becoming increasingly bewildering. We found unopened cans of food stored in the refrigerator. And then we noticed the most well-known symptom of dementia in the loss of her memory. She often had crystal clear clarity about happenings from decades ago, but words spoken 5 minutes earlier escaped her, and so she would ask the same questions, sometimes twice an hour, sometimes more. She gave birth to me, but she couldn't always recall my name. Conversation became more challenging because she would mentally search for a word which remained maddeningly elusive. She'd always been a stickler for paying her bills on time, but now some were past due, and she found the verbiage on the demand letters bewildering. Dementia is a disease that is painful both for those that suffer and for those that love them and feel so helpless. I will not gloss over the harsh realities of the dementia journey. But that journey also took us to some strangely beautiful moments. Just like grief, there is no single route in the pilgrimage through dementia. My mum shed some of her natural reserve. There were times when she poured out words and hugs loaded with love and affection. She learned to trust, to lean harder on others when the pathway was especially foggy. And we discovered that life, love, and learning can continue after that fearful diagnosis. As a family, we discovered that we were not helpless. We adapted with labels, reminder notes, and time spent explaining what felt confusing to her. Slowly, we learned patience with those oft-repeated comments and questions. When she affirmed something that was just not true, we learned to incarnate ourselves into her world rather than insisting on dragging her into ours. We were reminded that she, like everyone ever born, was made in the image of God and that dementia had not changed that. She deserved respect, gentleness, dignity. And then, when she finally agreed to embrace residential care, we marveled at the kindness of those who attended to her needs, sometimes day and night. The sight of them reminded us that God is a carer, the one who calls us to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. We read that in 1 Peter 5:7. So, as we think about older folks, let's especially bless those who live with dementia and let them know with a touch, a smile, a word softly spoken and oft repeated, that they are loved and cared for. Let's pray that the Spirit of God, the one called Comforter, will caress them with his kindness. The Spirit needs no words and can speak life where there is confusion, just as it was in the beginning when all was without form and void. Let's give thanks for and pray for the humans who are carers. Do not think that they are strong just because they act as if they are. And let's be grateful for Christian organizations. One of them is the Pilgrim's Friend Society, who combine best practice in dementia care with the spiritual understanding that those living with it can still live a happy and fulfilled life. That dance that I mentioned, it happened after some hesitation from my mum. The venue for my Strictly performance was the residential care home where she lived. A guest vocalist was singing wartime hits. And so I asked Mum to dance. At first, her usual reserve kicked in and she refused. But 5 minutes later, she grabbed my hand and said, "Come on, Jeffrey, let's dance." And so we did. It was the last dance. But as we meandered around the dance floor, I realized dementia had not won. She could live and laugh and find joy in the moments that remained. And she could still dance too. How deep the Father's love for us, Stuart Townhend. As we wrap up this evening's program, I'd like to issue a challenge to you, to myself. And that is that we see people. A complaint often made by the elderly is that people just don't notice them, even dismiss them because of their age. Sometimes the elderly feel estranged in our churches. For them, the music is too loud. The hymns that we've discarded have become anthems of strength and hope for their journey. Yet we can dismiss those songs with a sneer and insist that they embrace our choices. Some of them are not so much stuck in the mud. They're just wearied by our changes here to stay obsessions. And in some cases, they've seen all of our brilliant new ideas about church before wrapped in other packaging and they're not impressed. Let's see people. Let's look again at that old boy whose nose and ears refuse to stop growing and whose eyes are misty with memories. Let's tread gently around the widow who has lost her friend, companion, and lover of 60 years. Do not slap her with the statement, "Well, he just had a good innings." For her, the game ended far too quickly. Week in, week out, are there irritating, crotchety, stubborn seniors about? Well, to be sure. But let's look again past fluffy hats and flowery frocks, past well-worn checked jackets and dribbling noses, past silvery hairstyles and ties worn to go out shopping. There are treasures to be found in old vessels, and there won't be here forever. Let's see people. All around us this week, including the elderly, are people, unique, needy, hopeful, hopeless, fascinating people. Let's notice them and show the character of God, the one who, yes, he cares. See you next week.
Lucas on Life.